Board meeting to order, and if you'll please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda this morning is the presentation of the Earl Pride Scholarship recipients.
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board, and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Diane Haugh. I'm with the Department of Public Works. It's my pleasure this morning to present to you the recipients of the Earl Pride Scholarship Awards for 2006. This is the 13th year that scholarships have been awarded through the legacy left to Santa Claus County by Earl W. Pride. These scholarships are for higher education and are open to all county employees and their dependents. With this year's awards, the total amount awarded since 1994 is $31,175. This has been accomplished without decreasing the principal amount of Mr. Pride's original bequest. The original endowment has actually been increased each year with a percentage of the interest income to ensure funds for future years. Due to the high quality of the applicants, the selection process this year has been a difficult one. I would like to acknowledge the work of your appointees to the committee and publicly thank them today. They are Stacy Della of Behavioral Health, Greg Gaudio of Alliance WorkNet, Jan Gauthier of the District Attorney's Office, Bruce Merchant of Alliance WorkNet, Mary Ann Rocker of the Planning Department, and Susie Siebert of the Board of Supervisors. We wish to present the 2006 scholarship recipients. These individuals have exhibited not only outstanding academic performance, they've also displayed concern for their community and their fellow man. We are honored to present them to you today, and they will be presented in alphabetical order. Our first recipient, Joelle Odd, is a recent graduate of Turlock High School and will be attending University of the Pacific, majoring in music. Her goal is to teach at the high school or college level. Joelle was a member of the Santa Claus County Honors Band and Orchestra from 2003 through 2006 and the Modesto Symphony Orchestra in 2005 and 2006. She is a member, past secretary, and past vice president of the Interact Club, and Joelle's father, John Odd, is employed by the Department of Environmental Resources. Joelle's out of town and can't be with us this morning, but asks that we read her words of thanks. Members of the Board of Supervisors, it was such an honor to receive notification of my selection of the Earl Pride Scholarship. I am so looking forward to the start of my college career at University of the Pacific in Stockton in the fall, where I will major in music education and performance. I regret that I am unable to attend the Board of Supervisors meeting today, as I have been invited to attend the UCLA Music Academy this week. I am very grateful to have the support of Santa Claus County in my efforts to reach my educational goals. I can assure you that your scholarship will be put to good use. Our second recipient, Jennifer Chisholm, graduated from Ceres High School and will be attending UC Santa Barbara as a film production major. Her goal is to someday be a successful film director. Jen has been involved in numerous school and community activities, including Habitat on Campus and the Ceres Youth Commission. She has been involved in fundraising for global issues such as the removal of landmines in third world countries and providing help to the victims of the tsunami disaster. Jen's father, Stephen Chisholm, is employed by the Alliance WorkNet. The third recipient is Jesse Dash, and he's graduated from Johansson High School and has completed his second year at UC Berkeley, where he's achieved a 3.9 GPA. Jesse is majoring in chemical biology. His long-term goal is to become a professor at a university hospital, where he will be able to teach and work with students conducting biochemical and medical research. Jesse is currently conducting research focused on the development of a particle for use in cancer treatment and vaccination delivery. Jesse's mother, Mary Beth Arendt, is employed in the fraud unit of the District Attorney's Office. And our next recipient is here this morning, and her name is Juliana Fajardo. She's a recent graduate of Modesto High School, and she'll be attending Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where she'll be majoring in statistics. Juliana's interests include art and dance. She has been in numerous dance productions and has participated in regional art shows, where she's received awards for sculpture and black and white drawing. Juliana is a member of the Interact Club, People to People International, and the California Scholarship Federation. Juliana's mother, Lucia Fajardo, is employed by the Health Services Agency. Juliana?
Good morning. You can come and stand with me by the flag here because I think they like to have your picture on television. So, don't let that worry you. It's a great deal of pleasure for me to present to you this 2006 Rural Pride Scholarship Award. And of course, unfortunately, two of them can't be here, but two of you are, and I'm happy that you were able to come because listening to all of your accomplishments is really something to have a lot of pride in. And there's not many people can do that. Not many people today can say that. But you can, and in honor of that, we're presenting you with a certificate and this check. Now, I don't want to frighten you with this, but do you want to say anything?
Thank you very much for this award. Our fifth recipient is Rachel Henderson. Rachel is a county employee working full-time in the Community Services Agency as an account clerk. Rachel is also a full-time student at Modesto Junior College and a single parent of two small boys, ages 1 and 2. She's pursuing an associate's degree in business administration with the intent to transfer to CSU Stanislaus to earn her bachelor's degree. She plans to use her education to teach financial skills to foster children who are within a year of reaching age 18, providing them with the knowledge they need to survive on their own. Rachel?
Congratulations to you also. It's really heartening to hear how many people who would win this award have such wonderful objectives. And you've obviously laid out a path for yourself in the career and certainly deserve to have this check and this award. And we're pleased to present this to you. And I think the check's somewhere inside. We did give you one. Okay. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you for the award. Thank you very much.
The members of the Earl Pride Scholarship Committee wish each recipient continued success. We hope this award contributes to the realization of your goals and dreams. We also want to thank the Board of Supervisors for this opportunity to publicly acknowledge these outstanding individuals. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is a recognition for Assistant Sheriff Mark Puttoff, Maury Saunders, and Assistant District Attorney Carol Shipley. Do you want to come up one at a time, I think, maybe? Carol, do you want to be the first? How are you? Never did I think 30 years ago I was going to be standing here presenting you with an award for being the district attorney. We have a gift for you, and that gift represents our appreciation for all of your service that you took on when we appointed you as a temporary district attorney. You took to the job immediately. You did it. You never wavered. And for that, we're very grateful. This clock has a pendulum on it. We did that intentionally so that in case you get bored with anything over there in the future, just take a look at that when it goes, I probably put you into a hypnotic trance of some kind so that you feel better about it. But anyway, we really appreciate your service and wanted to give you this gift.
Thank you very much. I do want to thank the board for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to be the district attorney for the last 11 months. I want to thank the CEO and his staff who also gave me their support and worked diligently to keep me out of dangerous waters and for the most part succeeded. I want to thank my staff. It's one of the hardest and most dedicated staffs in this county and I appreciate their hard work and their support for the last 11 months. I want to thank the department heads for all your mentoring that you did to me as well as the Law Enforcement Executive Committee. They also mentored to me in the last 11 months and kept me on the straight and narrow. Lastly, I'd like to thank my family and my friends who stood by me and gave me the support that I needed to make it through. But it's been a privilege and a pleasure, and I look forward to working with and supporting Birgit as the district attorney. So thank you very much.
Next, Maury. Maury, it's my privilege on behalf of the board to present you with a gift. You're embarking on another career and up north, so we made sure that we had a clock that had a barometer in it. Because anyone who goes to Oregon has to have a barometer. You understand that with all that rain. Maury, we want to thank you for all your service to the county and to the sheriff's office. If you ask anybody in the sheriff's office who was the workhorse and who did what people asked him to do and did it with pride and with integrity, it was Maury. That's the name that came first. So we want to present this to you in our appreciation for your service and hope to see you again soon. Okay?
It's going to be hot and dry today. It's with mixed emotions that I'm up here. I'm excited about embarking on my new career as the chief of police in a fine city in Oregon called Florence on the coast. It's with a bit of sadness that I leave one of the finest law enforcement agencies that I've had the privilege to belong with. It's also sad that I'm leaving a county where you have a board of supervisors give the support that they have done, the department heads that allowed me to come into their world to assist me to do what needed to be done for the department. All I can say, it's been a pleasure to serve, and God willing, I will be back here to visit and maybe some people can take me to dinner.
Mark, we have a gift for you. We got you an identical one. I guess that's standard for assistant sheriffs, right? Okay. Mark, on behalf of the board, we want to present you with a gift this morning for your service as assistant sheriff. And I can comment on the fact that the board trusted you enough to appoint you to the position that would allow you to lead the sheriff's office for a while. And I can tell you that most of the board members respect the way you did it with honor, with integrity, and hard work. So for this, we appreciate your service and want to present you with this clock. You bet.
First, I want to congratulate Maurice Sanders on his new find and Florence's new find of him being the chief of police. I think he's going to do a wonderful job. I would like to let you know what a privilege and honor it's been for me to serve and be a part of this family. I poured my heart and soul into this job in this county and have no regrets for that. And there's a word called chaos, and if you look at the derivatives of chaos, it's crisis and opportunity. And we took on every crisis, and we did it phenomenal. The organization's in a wonderful place now because of the phenomenal leadership and the team that we have, and the wonderful county, family that we have. And the opportunity has been an opportunity for us to get to know each other better, an opportunity for me to grow as a leader and to really, really value and appreciate what it's like to lead an organization this great, this diverse. So for that and for that opportunity, Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Okay, we have a public comment period next, and I have one request from Steve Trapp.
Good morning, Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. My name is Steve Trapp, and I am here this morning to ask for your help. I've been a part of this community for a long time, and my life's work has been putting special events together for this community. And I have volunteered numerous hours, and I have been successful at putting these events together for the past 16 years. And putting the programs together, such as music concerts, Veterans Day ceremonies, all the programs that I have had the privilege to be a part of have never gone in the red. It is a record that I'm very pleased with. I'm currently working on the grand opening celebration ceremony for the Tony Mifflin Sports Park. I am serving as the director of the production for set forth this Labor Day weekend, and I am privileged to be hired as its director for this occasion. Next will be the culmination of the final production of this year at the set at the Skytrax Airport Hangar. Last year, the community came together to celebrate Veterans Day on November 11, 2005. There are well over 2,000 people in attendance. And on that day, it was on a weekend, or a weekday, excuse me. This year, it is on a weekend, which will probably increase the attendance of the crowd. I have to say that this event is, of course, expensive. And from the attendance of last year, we are now the largest Veterans Day ceremony held in the Central Valley. This is not to be mistaken as a parade like the one held in Fresno. The event in Modesto was more ceremonial. At last year's ceremony, we honored two American war heroes from Modesto. And already since last November 2005, we have 11 American war heroes that we will honor this year alone. The Central Valley has many families that have been changed, and we as a community, we do care. And I am here to ask the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for their financial support to help bring this event, of course, to its completion. I believe from the success of last year that there would be not much of an argument to ask for funds this year. I believe the expectation of the ceremony and the community for this year is high, and the crowd is going to expect something good. I believe I will deliver. I believe this year will be better than last year. Just for example, the artist named Bob Davidson spends about 300 to 400 hours making a portrait. This year alone, the portrait will be presented to the family on Veterans Day. This year, there will be 11 portraits, and Mr. Davidson will have them all completed. All will be presented on canvas at the event, with each having an American flag draped by its side. This has never been done before in the history of Modesto, and will be presented for the first time this year. I don't want to give the entire program away, but I assure you, you will not be disappointed. I do want you to let you know that I am pleased that we have the Governor's Own Veterans Honors Program with us this year, along with the 91st Division Band, the Band of the Wild West, performing for us, and just recently confirmed as the Philippine Consul General, and the author of Unlikely Liberators, of the 100th 442nd, the most decorated unit in World War II. And after the election in November, this will be the largest crowd held in Modesto. So it is here that I am asking the Board of Supervisors if they would approve $10,000 for the event. If you are able to approve this amount, the county would be considered the premier sponsor, along with Skytrax Aviation, County Bank, Citadel, Store Coachways, and the Modesto Bee, as they have served as last year. I also need to let you know that the Stanislaus County Foundation serves as our 501(c) tax deduction, and the board committee is Mr. Peter Johansson, As chair, Ms. Patty Stone of the Stanislaus County Foundation, County Bank, Tina Seward, Robert Baker, and myself, with a host of volunteers and production crew. Obviously, there will be programs, flyers, radio, television, newspaper, with the Stanislaus County logo and your names all on it. And there will be a private dinner following the event that you're all invited to with your spouse. I really hope that you would consider this request without much hesitation, as there is much work to be done. We only have 4 months left from this very date to complete what will be pleasing to the County Board of Supervisors and to the community in Modesto. That is my time, and I truly thank you for yours, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them for you.
Thank you, Steve. I can attest to the one last year. I was honored to be able to speak at that, and I thought it was one of the most dramatic events that I have ever seen, and put together extremely professionally, with honoring all of the veterans who were there and some active service people that came, the honor guard, the gigantic flag, the music, and 2,000 people did show up. And I expect you to probably have 5,000 the next time around, because this is really a magnificent event. Everyone should really see this. So with that, I guess I'm endorsing the idea.
Yes, I would ask you to, at the back of the room is my assistant, Sandy Regalo. She can give you some specific information. You will need to submit a formal written request, and we do have a community support budget that this would need to be identified for funding, and the board ultimately will approve the allocation and distribution of that community support budget. So if Sandy is in the back of the room, I think you wouldn't mind talking to her.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Next, we'll turn to the consent agenda, and I had a request to remove item 4D. I'm going to remove B5 for a separate vote, and I apologize, Birgit and Adam. Somehow this got on consent, and I think it warrants more than just being on the consent agenda, so we're going to take the vote on that separately.
Also, Ray at C1.
And I'm going to get there.
Okay.
C1.
Right.
Tom has a conflict with C1. It's his property that we're going to be considering, so we'll remove that one also. So I need a motion for approval of the balance of the consent calendar.
Also moved.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. We'll turn next to item B5, approval of appointment of Birgit Flatiger as district attorney and Adam Christensen as sheriff. And do you want to say something?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to take an opportunity to congratulate both Adam and Birgit and wish them well in their new position. Today we'll have a new sheriff and a new DA, and I just want to let you both know that I support you, and good luck. And with that, I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I'll second then.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered.
I would remind all those here and in the audience that we do have a oath of office ceremony scheduled for 3 o'clock in the chambers, and reception following that. So I'm looking forward to a good afternoon. Congratulations to both of you.
Okay. And I would remind you, too, that you have an opportunity to speak this afternoon, so prepare yourself after you're sworn in to make, well, not a 20-minute speech, but at least it's some kind of speech. Okay, thank you. Next, we'll turn to the other item we removed, C1.
They're moved for a vote only, so unless you have specific questions, we'd only ask that you take action on this at this time.
I'll move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Okay, next schedule items is B15. Keith?
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board. Keith Boggs, Deputy Executive Officer, Economic Development. Joining me this morning is Vince Harris, CEO of Stanislaus Council of Governments. This action item is requesting approval of the Stanislaus County 30-year countywide transportation financial expenditure plan. to authorize the imposition of a one-half of 1% retail transactions and use tax to fund programs and projects described in the transportation expenditure plan. At this juncture, to say that the process steps bringing us to today's discussion have been inclusive would be an understatement. Significant cooperation has occurred and continues to take place on this issue, improving regional transportation infrastructure by and between all jurisdictions countywide, evidenced as of yesterday evening with all incorporated cities in Stanislaus County having reviewed the expenditure plan, with the majority approving both project content and formal approach. Your concurrence with this process is sought this morning. The Stanislaus Council of Governments, STANCOG, the Policy Board of Directors will meet tomorrow evening to review the level of community support and make a final determination on whether or not to proceed with recommendation back to your board, requesting that the expenditure plan and related self-help transportation tax initiative be placed on the November 7, 2006 ballot. Critical to this process and to this morning's discussion is Mr. Vince Harris, the CEO of Stanislaus Council of Governments. Mr. Harris is prepared to give a brief summary of the expenditure plan as proposed and answer any questions that you may have regarding content, process, and timeline toward November. Mr. Harris.
Please. Thank you, Keith.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. Vince Harris, again, Executive Director for the Stanislaus Council of Governments. It's a pleasure to be here this morning and present the plan to you. We are showing on the screen the summary of the overall plan. I'd like to highlight that for you as a lead-in for the board. The plan, in fact, as Keith indicated, has been a comprehensive effort in terms of developing this plan. It is a comprehensive plan. It's a 30-year plan. Projected revenues all total $1.02 billion over that 30-year period. There are safeguards included in the plan. Administration costs are limited to 1% of gross revenues for both salaries and benefits. There will also be an independent citizens oversight committee appointed by the STANCOG IE board to, in fact, provide oversight of the expenditure plan and to produce an annual audit to ensure proper accountability, of course, to the taxpayers of Stanislaus County. As I said, the plan, in fact, is comprehensive. It's composed of 7 major programs. I'll highlight them for you. First, the State Highway Corridors Program, to include improvements to State Route 132, 219, 108, and 120. The plan is composed, as I said, we estimate about $1.02 billion in revenue. However, the programs are, in fact, really being set aside based on the percentage of those total revenues. We're doing that specifically because, in fact, if in fact the revenues, which we think at this point are conservatively estimated, increase, those programs will automatically receive those additional revenues based on the percentage. So the dollar amounts, in fact, are estimates. The percentages, in fact, would be what we would hold true if the revenues, in fact, are larger than what's shown. These programs, in fact, for the State Highway Corridor, we're allocating 42.7% of the total $1.02 billion, or approximately $435 million. The second program, State Highway Interchanges, will include, in fact, improvements to interchanges on both Route 99 and I-5. These interchanges will, in fact, require additional funding from both local sources, state and federal matching funds. We're allocating 15.7%, or approximately $160 million for that program. The next program, local transportation improvements. 9.8% of the revenues is being allocated to that particular program, about $100 million. This is a population-based distribution for projects that will, in fact, be on a list that's included in the expenditure plan that cities have the opportunity to pick from, and also a portion of those funds can be used to add to those cities' pavement management programs. The next category of programs, matching funds for federal funds, this, we believe, is a very important program. These kinds of programs throughout the state of California, of which there are 18 of what's called self-help counties. I, in fact, was executive director for one of the previous programs in Alameda County. We did not have this element of a program where we provided matching funds. It was problematic.
We certainly anticipate that additional funds will be flowing from the federal government, and in order for us to access those funds, we need matching funds. So this is a very important program for us to allow ourselves to access additional funds, and we're allocating 3.9% or about $40 million of the total revenues for that particular program. The next program, pavement management program, I call this basically the backbone of the program. I'm certain that each of the public works directors throughout this county will be very pleased to get these funds. It's basic dollars to provide for pothole repair, curb and curb to curb pavement replacements, slurry seals and overlays. Very important, the dollars. We're allocating 24.4% or approximately $250 million towards that program. The last two programs in the course of developing this expenditure plan through the Stancock Policy Board were developed in concert with most recent polling, because it became very clear that the public has a true interest in seeing commuter rail transit in terms of being a part of this expenditure plan. This particular program would upgrade the commuter rail corridors serving Stanislaus County, coming over the Altamont Pass into Modesto and the Stockton area. We're allocating 1% of the total revenues, or approximately $10 million towards this program. And last but not least, paratransit for seniors and disabled persons, also a category of program that polled extremely well in our most recent polls. We're allocating 2.5% of the total revenues, or approximately $25 million towards that program. Those are your seven programs before you. As I said, the program is comprehensive. We have gone through and brought this expenditure plan to each of the nine cities in Stanislaus County. As of last evening, seven of the nine cities had approved the expenditure plan. The plan was heard before the city of Ceres and Oakdale last evening. Ceres, in fact, did approve the plan. It's my understanding that Oakdale heard the plan but took no action on it. If that is your plan, I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman. The comment you made about the $25 million for rides for seniors, that was, you mentioned polling. I failed to see how this is going to help the transportation in Stanislaus County at all, and I question you using polling by determining where the money goes rather than really what's good for the county. I'm unable to determine how this $25 million is going to help Stanislaus County's transportation at all.
Supervisor, if I might. Paratransit for seniors and disabled persons, a category of transportation widely used in the Bay Area. As you know, I've worked in the Bay Area. And other counties in California have wide ranges of paratransit services. How it will help us is that we do have persons that have disability that are unable to get around by themselves. Under the current five transportation providers here in Stanislaus County, they do have some dial-a-ride services. This would be, in some respects, an extension of that kind of service, providing door-to-door service for seniors, those that are unable to drive themselves but have the ability to, in fact, access service that they could get moved around the county. In terms of capital projects, I don't disagree with you. It's not a capital project, but it clearly is a transportation mode that in terms of polling, has shown that the county is very interested in seeing us improve that service for seniors.
Now, this isn't the Bay Area, and we already have a dial-a-ride program that I have never heard there's been a complaint about. I really question Stancog using polling to determine where transportation money is going to go rather than the actual need. I'm not going to go into that anymore. The only other question I had was, is pavement management is based upon the population, but most of the needs for transportation is between the cities. And I especially took notice of Modesto being 41% of all the money for pavement management or repairs on roads, when it's really the corridors between the cities that really need the most attention. Why was it done this way?
Supervisor, been here 8 months. In the course of developing this plan, It's my understanding that discussions were had with each of the cities, including the county, on a formula that would be fair and equitable in terms of sharing these kinds of dollars. I can tell you that certainly there are other kinds of equations that have been used in other areas, population plus road miles. It was thought here that the population base was the fairest way to do this because most of your road miles, in fact, are in Modesto and the unincorporated area of the county. So population seemed to be a formula that worked well in terms of the distribution of the roads. It is just one way of doing it, and we were able to reach consensus from the various entities on this approach.
And that was one of the significant challenges in undertaking the development of the transportation tax initiative was finding the common ground, the areas in which all nine cities and the unincorporated community could reach agreement and could reach consensus. So I think to characterize it as a consensus building process that did require at different times throughout the process a compromise by one party or the other to yield the benefit that would provide the greatest good for the overall communities.
Well, I would tend to disagree with that formula, but most of the roadways in the cities are residential that have very light traffic, where the connectors between the cities are the ones that are deteriorating and have the most traffic. And having the Modesto get 41% of the money, it seems excessive, with the county only getting 22%. Just doesn't seem like the county is getting a reasonable share for the need that's there. You don't have to comment on that. That's my opinion.
Supervisor Mayfield.
Yes. I'm probably going to start at the very top fence and go all the way down.
Okay. When you're talking about the state highway corridors, state highway interchanges,
yes.
Over half that money over the 30-year period, over half that money will be used for state highways, state interchanges, and overpasses.
Correct.
Okay. Now, my biggest problem with all this is that when you talk about the county and the county roads and what they call connector roads and stuff, is we get very little out of that as far as this. Now, then yesterday I got the brochure that I sent out. Who paid for that?
It was paid for equally by Stantonk and also by the Alliance. The Alliance is actually the entity spearheading the actual campaign. Now, we recognize that as a public agency, Stancog cannot pay for any materials that would resemble a campaign, but in fact, Stancog can pay for public education information. So this overall mailer was paid for partially by Stancog.
Is that legal, Vince?
It is.
Okay, that's so. So you can use public money for a brochure like this?
We can.
Okay.
As long as it's determined that it's educational material. And Supervisor, if I can just correct one statement I made. Stancog shared in a survey, as the Supervisor indicated, polling, shared in a survey to take a look at the interest of the public. Half of that was paid for by Stancog, and half was paid for by the Alliance. In fact, this brochure was budgeted in the Stancog overall budget for this overall process to begin. And of course, we do in fact have that opinion from our council in reviewing what is allowable by public agency. And this kind of thing is allowable. One more of these type of public education brochures will be also done within the course of the next 30 days.
Well, if I was running for election, probably this is what I'd put out to tell you what I could do, how good I could do it. Okay, but here again, I disagree on this brochure. You've got this. I have to agree with Jim DeMarte on this one here. Is that you've got the Kernan interchange, the Pelindaire interchange, the Stanford interchange, the Bridgemore interchange, 132 West interchange, 132 East interchange. I mean, we're talking about a $1 billion. Over a period of 30 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of misleading things in here as far as I look at it, is where this money is going to come from. when you talk about $2 million or $2.5 million, $3 million for the county, is that can that money that will be collected from this tax, can you use that against federal funds as matching funds?
Yes, we can.
You can?
Absolutely.
So
as a matter of fact, one of the really...
All this money, you know, truthfully, when you look through this, we don't know where this money all comes from, to tell you how it's got through sometime. It comes from the federal government. It goes through the state. It sounds like the state is giving this money. This isn't state money. This is federal money that's being administered by Caltrans. Is that right?
A portion of it is.
Huh?
A portion of it is.
Yeah, a portion of it. But most of it, isn't most of it federal money?
When you take a look at the way the money flows from the state, portions of federal funds flow from the state, but also state money flows as well. So it's a combination of state and federal funds that do, in fact, flow to counties like Stanislaus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the sales tax dollars would be used as matching dollars in many cases towards both those federal and state dollars.
Okay, how much money, just basic questions that people are going to ask me. I might as well ask you, you're the head of the thing. Okay, when it comes to the state, when you ask for a half cent sales tax, and you come to some of these projects that's going to cost, let's say an interchange, it's going to cost you at least $100 million probably, if not more. Okay, but okay, how much money is the state going to chip into that, and what match would we need?
Okay, at this point, we don't have that answer. Let me just say this. The interchanges that we've allocated, $160 million for 10 interchanges, do the math, that's about $16 million per interchange. So clearly, at this point, we've done some very rough estimating. Those interchange costs could be anywhere from $30 to $60 million, which mm-hmm. means clearly we will have to have additional state and federal dollars. Through the state transportation improvement program, there is access to dollars flowing to Stanislaus County for those improvements on the state highway system. We would be working very hard with the California Transportation Commission to access those additional dollars to match our dollars. That will be one of our rallying cries with our half-cent sales tax to, in fact, get those matching dollars. So, Supervisor, at this point, until we go through our more detailed look at these projects, we cannot tell you exactly what the match need will be on the interchanges. But that will be a part of our process when the measure passes, our strategic planning process. That will be one of the things we'll be doing.
This brochure makes it sound like this is going to be the answer to everything, okay? But quite truthfully, I'll give you an example. 3 years ago, they came here and they wanted some money from the bank. Economic development. Okay. I think you got $450,000 to study it or to do something with it. Okay. Now, that's been 3 years ago. Okay. The project that time was $9 million. Right now, that same project is $15 million. So when you estimate these and when you do all the math on these things, it says this $1 billion, it makes it sound like we're going to go out in the county and we're going to fix all these county roads, but very little of that money is going to be for what we call roads that I travel on, or a lot of people that I know travel on. And when it comes to county roads, you can use some of this money on collector roads, okay? But as far as the little roads in the rural area, they're going to get very little of this money, okay? But then what you figured on this here was $206. As you go down the road, these $206, it's just the same thing is happening right now over on 132 in front of Beard Industrial. The same thing is going to happen. The money that we said was going to be there, all this money, is going to escalate. It's going to escalate. So you have to be careful in what you promise people, because these aren't going to happen. This money is not going to be enough to cover half this. If we get 15 years out of this stuff, we'll be lucky. And one more question. When is all this going to take place? Okay, you're going to draw $35 million a year of half cent sales tax. When do we start, and when does it take place? It takes sometimes 5 years to even draw one of these things. So I'm just trying to find out, so people won't expect too much if they vote for it or if they vote against it. Don't expect too much, because that's not what's going to happen. That's my spiel. Give me your spiel.
Supervisor, you said quite a few things there. If I could just address a couple of them. First of all, in terms of what we are bringing to the public, it's absolutely our intent to provide and deliver to the public what we're promising. Now, as it relates to deliverability and timing, a lot of that's going to require looking at the projects in detail. One of the first things the new agency will do early next year is develop our strategic plan. This is the financial expenditure plan. The strategic plan is a more detailed document that begins to get our hands around each individual project. I don't deny what you said, Supervisor, relative to deliverability and the timing. It takes time, particularly major capital projects. It certainly takes a long time. We have a 30-year window to deliver these projects, but clearly we want to do that much faster than 30 years. One of the advantages of the half-cent sales tax is we can bond against future revenues, which means that even though we expect about $34-35 million a year coming in, and that revenue stream, bonding against future revenues allows us to bring a larger bulk of money in faster so that we can put that on the capital process and hopefully deliver them even faster than that window of time. You're right about the whole discussion of inflation and escalation. These things do happen. And the biggest problem for any major capital project is delay. So one of the things we'll be trying to do very aggressively is push the project fast as we can. That will help us because, yes, there will be an escalation on these costs as we go. The dollars we show here are in constant 2006 dollars. But as we go through the strategic planning process, we will be making assumptions on escalation rates to make sure that we have a real handle on what those costs look like out in the future to be able to capture a project and build it. I know that this is a lot, but we have 18 other counties, of which, as I said, I used to be the director of another, very successful in these programs. One of the advantages of the programs is that, unlike, and even though Caltrans will be one of our lead sponsors on the state highway system projects, having our own local money gives us the ability to kind of get our own hands around to take charge and lead the effort in a much faster way. And hopefully that also allows us to deliver a lot more work. So it's a lot still yet to be done. This is just the beginning. This is the planning effort. We need to get this approved, of course. We need to keep educating. One of the things that I think is also important is when we talk about the county roads and city roads, the pavement management program is an extremely important part. It's 25%, $250 million of the total dollars will be used to the cities and the county to improve these roads. And one of the things we've been talking about in terms of the strategic planning process early on is looking at front-loading some of the dollars that some of the cities and the county get so that you can immediately proceed with some of the smaller pavement and overlay projects and slurry seal projects right away, not having to wait for 4 or 5 or maybe 6 years it takes to develop a major capital project because you have to go through environmental documentation, design, right-of-way acquisition, actual construction. These are major, major projects which are longer term, but that's why the program is set up so that we have some dollars that can begin to flow early on and you can see some real benefits, some real success stories, some real improvements faster than some of the larger jobs.
But when you say, this is not a debate, but when you say front load, that means you're going to use this money to leverage more money for bond or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
If you do that, what happens is you increase your costs and you decrease your projects because the money you collect is going to have to pay that bond payment. And with that interest, you're probably going to double. The cost of everything you're talking about. I mean, you say you haven't figured it out yet. I hate to bring this before the voters. I'm not saying I won't bring it before the voters. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying I want it to be a truthful statement when you say, when you talk about the money that you're gonna use to upfront this and all that, and the escalation. Those should have been figured in this. Everybody in this board, everybody in this room knows that everything we're doing now is going up, up, up. When you talked about how much money you're going to spend on these things, okay, it should have been figured as an escalation point because you know it's going to escalate and you know you're not going to get as much done as you're saying you're going to get done. You're not simply won't have the money. I'm looking at it, and I know those people on the Standing Cog Board here, that they go much offer than I do, okay? But I can remember the time when I used to go to Standing Cog all the time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You weren't there. Okay. Thank God you weren't there. But when they talked about all this money, the Caltrans people told me that you've got 108 down here. 108. That's been on the books for 50 years. For 50 lousy years, it's been on the books. And the Caltrans sat here and told me to meet one night. He said, "Don't you worry about that, Tom. That money's there. That money was passed in a bond. That's bond money. That is your money." That money's been gone so long ago that we'll never see that again. Okay, but some of these things are really not realistic, Vince. They're just not gonna happen. You might be able to do some of these, but if some of these projects are so far down the line,
The people are going to expect them to come, and they're not going to be there.
Okay. Supervisor Grover?
Thank you. I think the number one concern in Stanislaus County right now is how we're going to manage growth and how are we managing growth. And the way that manifests itself the most at this point in time is the traffic on our roads. Vince, I want to congratulate you for a wonderful job that you've done in the 8 months that you've been here.
Thank you, sir.
We are making a transition in this county. We have decades that we've been growing that we haven't caught up with, and I don't see any other viable alternative to considering this and giving the folks in this county an opportunity to step up and give us some tools to work with. Now, I share Supervisor Mayfield's concerns on, are we telling the truth and are we making sure that all the information gets out there? And we all know that, especially as it relates to construction in 2006, that it's a moving target on what it's going to cost. But I also know that we've built in a very conservative estimate of revenues. The key point that we don't have any control over is something Supervisor Mayfield mentioned, is the unreliability of funding from both the federal and state government, which is our money also, paid for by our taxes, that we have a right to expect to come back. The problem is if we don't have a plan, and if we don't have a plan for matching funds, if and when those ever do come, we'll miss them all. There's going to be tens of billions of dollars of bonds on our November ballot from the state that a vast majority of we won't even be eligible for unless we have something like this in place. We have Prop 42, coming back, but that's only about $6 million a year, and that's about what we get out of the STIP program now, that if you look very far out on our STIP program, goes to zero. So we really are low on alternatives, and Supervisor DeMartini and I have sat around and talked about what else can we do if we don't do this? Where else can we find matching funds? And we just haven't been able to come up with it. So I think this is a wonderful example of collaboration. It isn't the way that we would do it as supervisors in all cases, but we have 9 other partners. And we've worked through this a period of 20-some months now on what does it take for all 10 partners to be able to agree and collaborate on how do we get to this point. And this is where we've come to. So if we were doing it individually, it might not be this way. If we were doing it only as a board of supervisors, it might not be this way. But it's all 9 of the cities in the county, and which I think is probably the largest collaboration we've ever had, working together to make an attempt to make things better in the future for how we manage growth. So I'd like to join our leader, Chairman Simon, as he stepped out in his State of the County address in support of this, and make a motion to approve this.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? You're going to speak out there.
I'll second it.
Okay. Supervisor O'Brien.
I just want to state that the voters of Stanislaus County deserve to vote on this, to have a say in whether or not we need to do this. We all send our hard-earned dollars to Sacramento and Washington, D.C., and right now we're not getting our share back because we have no matching funds. With this bond that's on the November ballot, we're going to miss out on millions and millions and millions of dollars because we simply are not a self-help county. Here's our opportunity to, yes, we have to put up a little more, but we'll get more of our money back in return. I think the people of Stanislaus County deserve to vote on this.
Okay, I agree with Supervisor O'Brien and Grover from this standpoint. I've had an opportunity to talk to supervisors in San Joaquin County and Fresno County. And all of them say that if you don't take this step to achieve matching funds, you're just lost. There has to be a bond issue for that purpose because we have to have sufficient money to be able to access it. And as you can appreciate, Vince, this board has long had great suspicion about state government, state legislators, and federal who really have treated Stanislaus County badly in the past. And I think a lot of it has to do with how much participation do we really have, and this is an opportunity now for us to show that. Even though you may have to massage some of the information that goes to the public to ensure that it is straightforward and that we have done the appropriate thing in our evaluation, I don't want to let the 9 counties that spent a great deal of time doing this, and you who have spent a great deal of time in a very, very efficient document. So for that reason, I'm going to support the issue today. Okay, we have a motion on the floor and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
I would like to speak just briefly to the process from here on out, if I may. First, the Stancock Policy Board will tomorrow evening consider the second reading and adoption of an ordinance. That ordinance and its directive elements will come back to the board on August 1st, and you will have an opportunity at that point to take action to place this matter or this initiative on the November ballot for voter approval. Voter approval, of course, does require two-thirds of the citizenry to voting in the election to support the initiative. The second, you actually approved two things today. One was the expenditure plan. The second was the notification to the Stanislaus County Clerk and Recorder. We have been working with the Clerk and Recorder. We have specifically requested that she assign the alphabetic designation of Measure K to this ballot measure. We hope to be able to avoid some confusion with the San Joaquin County Transportation Tax Initiative. We believe that this will assist that. She is currently working with County Council to continue to review that issue. We hope that that will be positive in its outcome.
And I'm sure that you've taken note of Supervisor Mayfield's concerns about the veracity of the documents that go out, and also Supervisor DeMartini, and we can trust you've done that. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I say one more thing?
No.
No. If you're going to put out another one of these here,
yes, sir,
then put it what it really is. You have got to figure in the escalation clauses and everything you've talked about here, because this is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You have to figure in what's really going to happen when you put out a brochure like this. Okay.
Understood.
And this is not the way it's going to be.
Understood.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Mayfield got a second comment. I would like to have one too.
Well, this we're falling apart now.
Go ahead.
No, since it's already done, it's too late in the game to vote against this. But this spending plan is long on promises and very short on matching funds. And only 3.9% of the money is for matching funds, and that's all we've heard here today. It's woefully underfunded, and the pavement management repair for the city of Modesto is grossly overfunded. Those were my comments. There's some problems I have with it, but we're never going to get this thing perfect, but I think the county should have got more of this and Modesto less, and the matching funds is not enough.
I didn't wipe off the old one. Supervisor O'Brien, are you finished with your comments?
I could make lots more, but that's fine.
All right. Two sentences, if I may, okay. Chairman. I think there's probably close to $600 million there that will qualify as matching funds.
Thank you. Okay. We've had our vote, correct? All right. We'll turn now to correspondence.
This board has received three portions of the 2006 Stanislaus County Grand Jury reports regarding the Health Services Agency, the men's jail medical care, and the Sheriff's Department's commissary.
We refer these to the Chief Executive Office, the Sheriff's Office, and the Health Services Agency.
This board has received a copy of the United States Fish and Wildlife Service's draft comprehensive conservation plan and environmental assessment for the San Joaquin River National Wildlife Refuge that describes and evaluates four alternatives for managing the San Joaquin River Refuge for the next 15 years.
Okay, we refer this to the Agriculture Commission, Sealer of Weights and Measures, and Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Ag secretarial disaster designation for San Jose County and other counties due to agricultural losses caused by the rainfall and severe weather conditions that occurred from December 17, 2005 through April 26, 2006.
Refer these to the Agriculture Commission and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board received a copy of the 2006-07 adopt a budget for the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District.
We need a motion to accept this report?
No.
Can we have one?
You need a motion?
You're the leader.
Yeah, I'm the leader. Okay, I'll make the motion.
I'll second. Have a motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
This board has received a letter from the California Department of Toxic Substances Control requesting suggestions regarding their new programs and policies and comments on how they can provide better service to the county.
Refer this to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a notice from the State Air Resources Board regarding the proposed modifications to the diesel particulate matter control measure for on-road heavy-duty diesel fuel vehicles owned or operated by the public agencies and utilities.
We refer this to the Department of Environmental Resources and Public Works.
This board has received a letter from Orange County Board of Supervisors requesting support of amendments to Section 203 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 related to the bilingual voting materials and the increasing election costs.
We refer this to a recommendation to the Clerk Recorder of Elections.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to Chief Executive Officer and Risk Management. Any board member have a report?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I would like to say that the subcommittee of the Ag Advisory Committee has been working on revising the ag element for almost a year now, and not quite. And we're very close to finishing it. There's some significant changes in it for the protection of agriculture and land use. Our last meeting, which we will finalize, it should be on the 21st of this month and be submitted, at least this is our plan, submitted to the Ag Advisory Committee on August 7th. And then it will go out to public hearings. There's been a tremendous amount of work put into this thing. We've looked at a lot of aspects of what agricultural needs and too many issues to go into with this report, but there's quite a change from the last ag element, and we are addressing issues that weren't addressed before and really cleaned up the document. And I believe from what I see of it, and it's almost finished, it's a far better document than we had in the past.
Okay, thank you. Legislative, fiscal, and management report.
Yes, first, to reiterate an announcement I made earlier today, the swearing-in ceremony for District Attorney Bert Flatiger and Sheriff Adam Christensen will occur this afternoon at 3 p.m. here in the board chambers. That will be followed by a board-hosted reception in the foyer outside of the chambers. So we would invite everybody to attend. Second, I'd like to brief the board quickly on one specific area of concern that we are working with and tracking closely. That's the flood control and levee repair initiatives that are currently under discussion at the legislature and with the governor's administration. We know we have a statewide initiative that could provide some funding for levee repairs. We're tracking that closely, trying to identify what opportunity the county will have to tap into some of those resources. Additionally, there are a number of bills in the legislature currently that have as one of their main elements the transfer of fiscal responsibility for maintaining levees from the state of California to the local agencies. We're tracking those with the intent of opposing as they move forward if, in fact, they gain any traction. Finally, the new FEMA flood mapping process is continuing underway. County staff is working together to track that process, try to determine the best course of action, and be prepared to respond when that mapping process is finally outlined to the local jurisdictions.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman,
yes.
Would it be possible to get an update on the fire from our fire warden? I'm not sure. I think we probably got updates through our office, but nothing public. It might be good to have that.
Gary?
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Krosnick, Gary Henshaw, your fire warden, Office of Emergency Services. Today is about the second and a half day. This is the third full day of the fires. Second major fire we've had in Del Porto Canyon in the last week and a half. This fire started about 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon in the Del Porto Canyon area near Frank Rains Park. It quickly spread to both sides of the canyon, and to keep it from going north, I think a lot of the efforts by CDF and the air tankers really did prevent the fire from spreading on two fronts. The fire did continue to spread on the south. Monday morning about 3 o'clock, some significant down canyon winds pushed that fire very close toward the Diablo Grande subdivision area. We had strike teams, CDF forces in that area. They used backfire techniques, burning out techniques, dozer, hand crews, and they pushed that fire to the west and to the south. The fire is currently over 3,000 acres, has about 35% containment. There are three structures that have been lost. The three structures are basically outbuildings or hunting-type camps, but there are no damage in the Diablo Grande area or anything in the Del Porto Canyon. No estimated time of containment. We're probably into this for about a week. The Santa Clara Ranger Unit has requested the assistance of San Jose County with the use of the Crow's Landing Naval Air Base. Keith Boggs has been instrumental in working with those groups as liaison. We have a county rep, County Deputy Fire Warden Ray Jackson has been the agency rep over there with the state folks, securing payment methodologies that would allow us to recover some of our costs if we have damages and secondarily assist with local resources in their reimbursement methodologies. The fire camp will probably remain at the Crow's Landing Naval Air Base or at the air base over there for about a week as they sustain these operations. They have no estimated time of containment or control. Keith has been working with the communities of Patterson, Newman, and along the 33 corridor to make sure that they have updates consistently with what's happening on that fire ground over there. So we've been sending out emails to you guys a little bit as to what's happening in department heads so that we can keep abreast of those issues. Should something change in their normal course of activities, we'll make sure that you have that information.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, we're going to adjourn the board meeting to a closed session.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have two items for closed session. The first is a conference with labor negotiation. Mr. Robinson will be the negotiator for the county. Three organizations, the domestic workers, probation officers, and Emergency Dispatch Association, pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.5F. The second item is a conference with real property negotiator. Mr. Robbins will be that negotiator. The property under consideration, 717th Street in Modesto, pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.5B.
Thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.